This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
All this week, I am talking with Dr. Catherine Ramsland. Dr. Catherine Ramsland, as you may know if you're a follower of true crime, wrote the book on Dennis Rader, the BTK killer, his autobiography, in fact. She spent many years communicating back and forth with Dennis, gaining an insight unlike anyone else into the mind of one of the most notorious serial killers alive today. This week, we're going in to her mind to learn about the experiences that she had while working with Dennis Rader at that time and all the way up to today, trying to better understand the mind of a killer. Join me all this week for parts 1 through 5 of my conversation with Dr. Catherine Ramsland right here on the podcast.
I've been teaching a course on extreme offenders for several decades, and I had just finished a book where I looked at a dozen cases of mental health experts who had spent a lot of time with either a mass or serial killer trying to learn as much detail about their developmental process as possible. And just as I finished that book, I had seen a woman on Facebook who claimed she was, had claimed 5 years earlier, she was writing a book on BTK. And I asked her whatever happened to that. She begged me to take it over. So I had just finished a book about doing exactly that. And how could I turn it down? It was a great opportunity. It took some time because I had to be evaluated by the victim's families because he had signed over his life rights to them and they would get a large percentage of whatever the book made, which was fine. I had to write a proposal that everybody agreed with. And it, essentially, it was to be able to use whatever Rader tells me to benefit law enforcement, criminology, and forensic psychology. So that was a long process. And getting him on board after he'd been working with the other woman, that took a little time as well. But, you know, in a couple months, we played a chess game. And then finally, it was all in place to go ahead and work on this. The whole process from the time I began talking with her until I finished the first draft was 5 years, which I've written a lot of books and I've never spent that much time.
Sure.
On a book.
Sure. Sure.
Lots of time. You know, I'm sorry.
I just said, sure. Lots of time.
Yeah. It's a lot of time, but it wasn't an opportunity. I went to the prison to meet him. We talked a lot on the phone. He wrote very long and detailed letters. He had police reports that he had put, you know, his own notes on. So that was interesting. He did drawings. He wrote poetry. So he was a multi-layered person. The experience of exploring this with him, I think, was, you know, really unique. Last time I did it, but it's certainly probably the most in-depth that I've done and taught me things, taught him things. I think it did make a contribution. Certainly, I've heard that. Some people, I use it as a textbook in my classes. Other people have said the same.
Sure, sure. When you were in that process of gaining trust, you had two groups to gain the trust of, the victims' families as well as Dennis. Can you talk about how you went about that in greater detail? I know there was a lot of back and forth and such, but what did you do to gain that trust and show people, you know, hey, look, this is straightforward. I'm here to learn from this and hopefully others can learn from what I'm trying to research here as well.
With the victims' families, and they were the first, they and their attorney, it was a matter of showing them that I am taking a clinical interest in this, not a tabloid type of interest. I didn't really want to glorify anything or do really graphic stuff.
Sure.
But it was going to be from his point of view. So they had, and there would be a book one way or another. So this is the way they could at least control a little bit what was going on with that. And they appreciated my credentials. There had been people who had approached them who did want to do more of a tabloid kind of thing, and they turned them down.
Sure.
So I think when I told them my intent and agreed to the terms and that this was really for me a professional research mm-hmm. project, and that's what I wanted to use it for, they were on board. It didn't take that long. I think the first person I talked to was Charlie Otero, who had discovered his parents murdered. They were the first of the victims. And then, you know, he brought some of the others on board. Then I met the attorney and he approved me. So that's how it went with them. But with Dennis, he had been working with this other woman. He really liked her. He didn't realize she wanted to get out of it. Mm-hmm. It was overwhelming. She'd actually been using one of my books as a model because she hadn't written a book before, and that it's a daunting process. So I think she's the one who really persuaded him to transfer what he was doing with her to me. And the fact that the first thing he wanted me to do was solve some codes.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to see if I'd play the game. That was a thing with him. He had all these codes. And would I do it? If I had said, no, I won't, then I'm done. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be part of that.
Sure.
But I did, because it was interesting that this is what he wanted to do, how we solved. It was a kind of a big puzzle that involved the other author. And so we figured out what his codes meant. And then in the end, I ended up writing the code that we used for the book. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of a weird turnaround, but it still played into that perspective for him that he had this kind of spy thing going on, and he wanted to know would I, you know, do it. Mm-hmm. And I did. And I also played games of chess with him by mail. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to be a therapist also. Yeah. So I'm the kind of researcher who kind of wants the world of that person to unfold in front of me rather than me imposing what I think onto whatever they have to say. So I wanted to, you know, whatever it was he was going to do, I wanted to take it all in. But at the same time, I'm learning about him through other channels. I knew the DA pretty well. I saw all the stuff she had on him. I had the interrogation files, the entire interrogation that they had with him. I read other people, letters he'd written to other people. So I had a number of perspectives on him that helped me to get, you know, a sense of when he might be lying or exaggerating or manipulating. Mm-hmm. Certainly, I wasn't 100% accurate because people like him are pretty clever, but I think it turned out well, and I still talk to him 13 years later.
There's more to come in my conversation with Dr. Catherine Ramsland about the BTK killer, Dennis Schrader. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our 5-part series here on the podcast. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast, dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.